Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Some pretty good reviews of our very first Ash the Show segment in the last hour. We debuted that. We got a lot of good questions from the audience. I did have one of my friends in Columbia who was listening on the stream say, I like the new Ask the Show segment, but did you consider a catchier title like Heckle the Host, for example?
So he knows you then.
Yeah, well, it's a she, but Cindy
she
definitely
knows you then.
Knows me. We have Kurt Schaefer coming up. That's my friend Cindy in Columbia. Kurt Schaefer's in Columbia. We go way back, actually, way too far back. He is a former Missouri State Senator. He ran for AG. He's practicing law in Columbia. He's running for the third congressional seat being vacated by Blaine Lukemire. We have Kenny Wallace and a crazy intruder story.
Love it.
Only Kenny Wallace can share a story like this, and I'm sure he's going to have something to say about the passing of Whitey Herzog. And Dan O'Neill will be here. Sports journalist, author, a good friend of the show. Dan covered the Cardinals and Whitey for many years. He's got some thoughts as well. We have audio cut of the day. And we start with our own Mark Cox, who is probably just waking up from his nap or getting ready to go to sleep for his show tomorrow morning. But you just heard the promo a couple of minutes ago. You got your big bourbon event coming up here in a couple of days, right, Cox?
It is, yeah, Mark. Thanks for giving me a few minutes trying to let as many people as possible know about it. Our whole morning crew is going to be out there. For a late evening for us, we'll be at the Clayton Wine House on Thursday night. And it's only $35. I don't know if people have been to these or not, but there's going to be lots of bourbon. There'll be some wine. There'll be some liquor for people that don't like bourbon. And just a great opportunity to kind of mingle for a couple of hours and hang out with us. And there's plenty of parking over there. This Clayton Wine House is right across from the Tropicana Bowl in Clayton. So just to give people an idea where it is, there's lots of free parking, and we're hoping people can sign up right there on the website at 971talk.com. They'll see it.
I think I've asked you this before, and I can't remember the answer, but have you been to one of the whiskey in the winter events that they have in the fall?
You know, believe it or not, I have not. I tried to go 2 years ago, and the tickets had sold out already.
Oh, yeah, they sell out right away. But here's why I bring it up, Mark, because I've done some work with whiskey in the winter for many years. I've done some video work for them because Amit, my friend, puts that on at Synergy. And it's been so fascinating to see the growth of the interest in whiskey and bourbon. And in particular, this has been fascinating with women. Every year I do that, I see more and more women at that event.
It's explosive, and we've had the same experience. Say, I've been doing the MASH podcast on bourbon for about a year and a half now, and there are a number of female master distillers in the country now. I'd say the number is still fewer than 10, but it's a growing, quickly growing appetite for female participants who love bourbon. I mean, they've shown up at so many of our events over the last couple of years, and I'm sure there'll be a lot there on Thursday night too. We're trying to get Kim St. Ange to join the party, but she's more of a wine person, so I'm not sure I'm going to be successful.
Well, good luck on Friday morning. Do we need to deliver some breakfast burritos to suck up the alcohol for you?
Man, that's a great idea. We'll always take free food. Are you up that early, Reardon? I don't think you were up that early.
Lately, I've been waking up 6:30, 6:45, so you'd be surprised. I have a little one,
That's just for your early tea time. I know what you're up to.
Well, that might be true, too. All right, Mark, have fun on Thursday night.
All right, Mark, thanks.
We will see you. 5:10, I mentioned Kenny Wallace coming up. We have Dan O'Neill as well. We have Kurt Schaefer, who is a lawyer in Columbia. He's a former Missouri State Senator, and he has recently announced that he's running for that third congressional seat that's being vacated by Blaine Lukemire. A lot of interest in that seat, and then some of the interest that was in that race, like Mary Elizabeth Coleman, dropped out. But Kurt, who We go way back. Hillcrest Hall, 1983. The dorm at Mizzou, which was actually a Stevens College dorm, right? Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, they tore that building down. So if you want to go left, you just have to drive by an empty lot because the building is now gone.
So originally that was a Mizzou overflow dorm. So if they couldn't fill, you know, they had too many students in the other dorms, they put them over at Hillcrest. I actually chose Hillcrest because my dad was wise to the fact that that was the only dorm back in the day outside of Mark Twain that was private that had air conditioning. You remember that?
Yep. Oh, it did. Now, part of the building, they had their own bathrooms. The side of the building that I lived on, I think you lived on too. We just had bathrooms at the end of the hall. So not quite as nice as some of the new dorms.
No, I had a suite. I had a suite.
Oh, you did?
I shared it with this guy named Harold who played baseball for Mizzou and had the worst smelling feet that to this day I've ever smelled in my life.
Wow.
See how the memory kind of sticks out with you? But yeah, that's exactly what happened. Well, let's talk politics here, Kurt Schaefer. You know that I've been a fan of yours for a while. I did think that you had a good shot at AG, but everyone calls you, you know, you're too moderate because you went on this this thing a few years ago where you said something that you're a moderate, and the conservatives, the so-called conservatives in the race, are trying to use that against you. Here's what you said.
I'm a very moderate candidate, okay? I'm a political moderate. That extremists may get elected, but moderates get things accomplished. And that is absolutely true. It's easy to get riled up by extremist rhetoric on both sides.
Now, you're taking a hit for that, but let me kind of put it into perspective from my view, because I've said this about Senator Igel before and some of the things that are happening in the Senate right now, Kurt, because somebody said on Twitter to me a couple of weeks ago, maybe this goes back a couple of months, you know, give him hell, Bill. And my response was, well, as long as I've known Senator Igel, he has given him hell, but he hasn't really gotten anything accomplished. So that's sort of the tricky issue there with your comments, because I understand what you said, but they're trying to paint you as some rhino, which I'm not a big fan of that word, Kurt Schaefer.
Well, I think it's funny because, first of all, that audio is about 20 years old, long before I was actually in the Senate. And I'll put my record in the Senate up against anyone's, because I don't believe on issues like controlling the state budget, because, you know, 6 of those 8 years that I was in the Senate, I was the appropriations chairman. I'll put my record up on being fiscally conservative against anyone. And I cut over $1 billion out of the state budget in those 6 years that I was approach chairman, delivered a balanced budget every single year. You know, I actually filed a bill to require the federal government to have a balanced budget, never could get that moved. But, you know, additionally, you know, protecting your right to, you know, your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. You know, I rewrote that language in the Missouri Constitution. I got sued by the police chief of the city of St. Louis and one of those Michael Bloomberg gun groups to keep that off of the ballot. I defended that case in the Missouri Supreme Court myself, got that language on the ballot in 2014. That was Amendment 5 in 2014. It passed by almost 70%. So I think I have an incredible record of actually getting things done. And I know some people just like to talk and talk and talk. And, you know, I certainly like to talk, but I would say I'm much more of a doer than a talker.
So, you know, you have this fascinating situation right now with Mike Johnson, and he's already, I haven't even covered this today because I think it's kind of ridiculous. I'm not a big fan. You know, there's been some things that have come across here with Mike Johnson as the new speaker with fiscal responsibility that I'm rather concerned about, but I'm also not a fan of switching speakers out every few months. So how do you balance something like that? You're in Congress, you're a conservative, you're worried about some of the fiscal insanity that's going on out there, and you see maybe more Democrats voting for bills than Republicans with the new speaker. What do you do in that situation?
I think what you have to do is you have to persuade people that your message is better and what you're trying to do for either the state of Missouri or for the country is the best thing to do. And that's a hard thing to do. And I know that from 8 years in the Senate and getting people to go along with those things that are the right thing to do. You know, I passed a lot of legislation protecting law enforcement over my 8 years. And, you know, not, believe it or not, not everyone supports law enforcement. And so, but, you know, you've got to convince everyone that for public safety and the welfare of the state, it's the right thing to do. And sometimes that takes a little while. And sure, is it easy to just throw your hands up like a 4-year-old and say no to everything? Sure, everyone can do that. Is it harder to get everyone together and get something passed on message that is best for everyone? That is hard work. And there's a lot of people right now in the state of Missouri and in Congress, too, that don't want to do that work. But, you know, I have a great record of doing that, and I'm going to continue to do that when I go to D.C.
Kurt Schaefer is here. He's a lawyer, former senator in Columbia, running for the congressional district that Blaine Lukumeyer currently holds. Now, that the way they cut that district, Kurt, as you know, it's weird, isn't it? The way it wraps around St. Louis and a little bit around Boone County as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a big ball of counties in mid-Missouri, and then it going over kind of to the east, it has kind of a finger that goes up into St. Charles County along I-70, not all of St. Charles County, just a piece of it. And then south of St. Louis County, it kind of has a finger to the south that goes into Jefferson County. Again, not all of Jeff County. And then in Boone County, which, you know, I live in southern Boone. Boone County is cut in half, so everything south of Broadway, which kind of runs parallel to I-70, just a little bit south of I-70, is in the 3rd Congressional District. And I think the interesting thing is, I think there's a couple of candidates in this race that not a lot of people know who they are that you know, live in the district. But, you know, my main opponent doesn't even live in the 3rd Congressional District, and I do. And people ask me all the time, how can you run for a congressional district to be the representative of the people in that district when you don't represent them, really, because you don't live there? And so basically what that boils down to is, because it's a federal spot, the U.S. Constitution dictates the requirements of what it takes to run for Congress, and it does not say that you have to live in the district. And multiple states over the years have tried to pass legislation that says, well, in our state, you do have to live in the district if you're going to run for it. But the U.S. Supreme Court continuously throws those laws out and says, well, that's not a requirement in the U.S. Constitution, so you can't add it. But I do like to add, I actually do represent people in the 3rd Congressional District because I live in the 3rd Congressional
District. Look, I think it's weird, and I know there were several, even Mary Elizabeth Coleman, and I'm friends with her and supported her, but I think it's weird. I guess the excuse that they use is, well, before these districts were recut, I lived in the district. But I understand your point completely. You know, it's interesting, that district is, as you know, when we go back to that period, we were in Columbia in the 80s, and I started covering news. It was the 9th Congressional District, Harold Volkmer, who was a Blue Dog Democrat. He was pro-life and pro-gun. You don't have that anymore. Then Kenny Hulsoff, who both you and I know very well, was the representative from the 9th District. They recut these, and now he had Blaine that's been in there a long time. And he has endorsed you, I understand, Blaine Lukemire-Kirk?
Yeah, Blaine has endorsed me. He's been extremely helpful. I also last week got the endorsement of the Missouri Corn Growers. I look forward, you know, and you know this, I mean, for the last 25 years, I've worked with farmers and agricultural groups all over the state. So I look forward to getting more of those agricultural endorsements in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Obviously, this primary is going to be here before we know it, right? It's only a few months away.
Yeah. And, you know, it really is it's a pretty solid Republican district. So that August 6th primary really is going to dictate who the next congressperson is.
How do you feel about Dennis Gates' team next year? Let's close on that.
I don't know. I think the jury's out on that one. But I'm looking forward to football starting.
I know.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, football's been really exciting. Coach, I think they both are doing a great job. This was not the best season in Columbia, but I think the transfer portal might be good to us. Kurt Schaefer, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Good luck in the race.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to talk to you.
All right, take care. I like Kurt a lot. And, you know, Bob Onder is who he's probably referring to there. He's the bigger name in the race now that the field has cleared. But I think Schaefer's a good guy, and I've known him for a long time. And this, I've said this before, I'm not a real big fan of the Rhino game that people are going to play. And you're going to have the Rhino game played quite a bit in that particular race. Kenny Wallace with an amazing, kind of shocking story of something that happened at his very own home in Jefferson County. That's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Woke up this morning, Sue, to a pretty crazy story. You know, I watch Kenny Wallace's videos on X, formerly Twitter, all the time because they're immensely entertaining.
Yes,
we feature him
are.
On this show. But this was a bit of a crazy story here.
Strange man looks me up, and I have the door open because the dogs were peeing. So I have open, and I don't even know this man. Tell me about yourself.
Charlie Roeder from Livermore, Iowa. I used to live here in the St. Louis area.
And what made you just, how'd you go about finding me? Where'd you get my address?
Online. It's pretty easy to find you.
Hold on. I want to hear this.
Go ahead. Say it again.
It was just online. I just looked up your name and there it was, so I put it in my phone.
Yeah, Sue, now there's a line of people that it's about a mile long waiting to get into Kenny Wallace's house right now. It goes back all the way to Arnold and Richardson Road, Kenny's just going to open up the doors. Are you crazy? Well, that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, that is.
I'm telling you guys, I was shocked, bewildered, because, you know, I've heard stories before. Now I got everybody to, you know, lock your gate, you know, get a gun, and like, my God, calm down. But I'm still speechless, and there's a lot of things to say. And listen, the guy was very nice, but ballsy is all get out.
Yes.
I know. Well, you know, at first I think I had missed the part about how, you know, the dogs were peeing. It makes a little bit more sense that the door was open, but still.
Wait.
Who does that?
He didn't knock, Kenny?
He just walked in, right, Kenny?
He just walked in?
No. Well, I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
Perfectly. Okay, so I just opened the door. It's 86 degrees outside. No drama. I have two little chihuahuas. They're super nice. I opened the door. I let them out. And they're out there for a while, and I go and sit down on my couch. And usually they come in, and then I close the door. But while the door's open, I look, and this man comes walking right up to my door and starts to puts his foot into my door. And I said, "Excuse me, do I know you?" He goes, "No, I don't know. You don't know me." I said, "Well, can I help you?" I told my son that I was going to find out where Kenny Wallace lived. I said, "Well, you're already this far." So I was just kind of joking with him. I said, "Come on, sit on my couch, talk to me." He came in, sat right down on my couch, and I thought to myself, this is so crazy. Nobody will believe it. So like everybody in life, you know, I do the right thing, and I grab my cell phone.
Right. And you just started talking to him. And he said he had some St. Louis connections, but was he just here to come see you, or was just like, "Hey, I got a little extra time. I'm going to go to Kenny Wallace's house."
I think it was both. He's from Iowa. He comes to see his son here in Afton. But and then it gets better. I said, "Well, come on, let me take you up to the shop and show you my race car, all my trophies."
Aww.
And we start walking up there, and I get my keys out. And he goes, "Oh, no, it's open. I already walked in there."
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
no.
No. Okay, but so there is a part of me that's like, I know this turned out well and you're still alive, and I'm very happy that you are. But, I mean, didn't you get a little nervous?
I was nervous, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Just because, you know, there are the people that are off the charts, right? They see you, they hear you on radio, they see you on whatever now, and they're like, "Oh, he's not real. No way to be real." But he says, "Listen, I love you on YouTube. My name's Indiana Charlie." And I'm like, okay. So, but when we went up to the garage, he found my address. He rolled up the hill here, and he went to the shop right away. And I guess he just let himself in. He walked right in. No, and when he told me, "No, it's already open. I've already been in." That's when I started going, "Oh my God."
Mm-mm.
So, but listen, you guys got questions, so do I. But you know, it's like, listen, you drive around in your car. There's your license plates. So. These websites, everybody finding your address.
Yeah.
I assume when somebody tells me they can find my address, Sue, I guess I could find your address, too.
I know, and that's not good. There's nothing about that that's good. Kenny, I have another question. What did your wife say? Was she not there?
Oh, this is interesting, too, because Kim had a story right before your story, right, Kenny?
What did Kim say?
So I'm doing the right thing. I'm keeping the cell phone rolling. And then so Kim comes walking through the door. And now the guy's gone. And I said, "Kim, you won't believe this story." And she goes, "Oh, you won't believe mine." Kim says, "I'm at Schnucks, and I'm looking through body wash. I want to get some different body wash. I'm looking at it. This crazy man walks up to me and starts talking to me about I have somebody in an old folks home, and here's the body wash you need." And Kim says, "I just acknowledged him and put my head back down." And then the guy got really mad at her and breathes real hard, and "You're rude," and he walked off. So Kim's in another aisle, and he comes over to that aisle. And so both Kim and I, my wife and myself, had the most crazy experience in life. I just feel like there's a bumper zone around everybody, right?
But wasn't Kim trying to downplay your deal? Say, he's just a fan. He's just a fan,
oh, yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
That's,
yeah,
that would
did.
Not be my reaction
she
if
did,
it was
though.
My
she
house.
Did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Good for her, though. That's good to roll.
Yeah, she really did. It was amazing. She said, oh, he's just, you know, I didn't really realize it because I was so caught up in the moment that when I went back and looked at the videos, Mark, you're right. She said
just,
that.
She just dismissed it. No big deal.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why at the end of that video, I roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, my
yes.
wife's crazy.
Yes. Well, now, the one thing, I'll close on this, is I really did think this, and here you are on my show as well, but don't you worry that this opens up a can
yes.
of worms here a little bit?
You mean maybe I shouldn't have put it on?
Well,
you know, but
I'd get up tomorrow morning and see if there really is a line outside
gosh.
Your door. There might be.
Beware, I have cameras. I have my cell phone. I'm ready.
Oh, my gosh.
I just thought it was a funny story. It was really cool.
Did he have a particular question, or was he just curious as to what you
he
were
was,
like?
Sue, he was the nicest man. He just, you know, listen, there's baseball fans. I mean, when I was with Adam Wainwright, you know, being inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, I was frozen because I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm right next to Adam Wainwright, and I was right there for like 3 hours. And this guy, he's been a big fan of mine racing in NASCAR my whole career. And I was, you know, 15 years on Fox. You know, I'm all over national
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're a big shot.
He was enamored. Hey, listen, when I'm around Mark Reardon and Sue's News, I get
you know,
nervous.
It's funny. I was telling somebody the story. You know, people ask me every once in a while, how do you know Kenny? And I share one story with him because we knew each other just a little bit, and I think maybe I had even met you. And then one time I'm at a Cardinals game. I think I was with John Lamping, Sue,
okay.
And I had really good seats. And I'm walking back, and Kenny's behind home plate, and he's in the middle, and like not right at the aisle. And there weren't a lot of people at the game, and he stands up. He goes, Mark Reardon! And then he points at himself. He goes, Kenny Wallace,
oh,
like I
hilarious.
Like first, like I didn't know who
oh
he was. Of
God,
course, I knew who he
that.
Was, but that was hilarious when
oh,
he did
that's
that.
That's adorable,
unbelievable. Well, on this very sad day because of the passing of Whitey, do you have any? Did you have any Whitey Herzog stories? Did you come across him over the years?
Yes, I do, and I put it on X this morning. I said when you have two nicknames, the White Rat, and what was Whitey's other nickname? The White Rat and the anyway, he's got two nicknames. And I said, when anybody has that many nicknames, you know they're a legend. And with Whitey, all the players had to do was draw a walk, right? It was Whitey Ball. There it was, Whitey Ball and the White Rat, sorry. So those two nicknames, you know, it was, hey, man, Whitey Ball or the White Rat. All his players had to do was get a walk, get on first base. And we had so much speed back in those days. Before you knew it, he'd steal second, steal third, pop fly, and that's a run. And that was Whitey Ball, and he invented that. And I've done some stuff with his son before in the past, but gone another legend, and my prayers to his family.
Yeah, you know, I played the soundbite. He sort of sums Whitey Ball up in context with where the game is today.
Now, you couldn't play Whitey Ball today. The ballparks are smaller. Everybody hits home runs. It wouldn't work like that today. You couldn't do that.
You know, but there's elements of it. And you've even seen some of that with the Cardinals in this young roster and the speed that they have. So, you know, the legend lives on. There's no doubt about that. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you're alive, Kenny. I'm glad you survived this whole incident with the fan. You know, they always say that about the serial killers, too. He was such a nice guy. That's what the neighbors say. Just remember that.
Yep. That's what they said about Jeffrey Dahmer, right? So
They might not have said it about him, but they say it about a lot of others.
I didn't mean to go so dark. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Hey, thanks, Herm. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
All right,
bye,
Dan O'Neill is going to join us with some thoughts on Whitey Herzog. He covered the team for many years back
great.
When Whitey was manager, writing for the Post-Dispatch and more. We have an audio cut of the day coming up as well. That's next. Here you go. Still a little Mavericks for us.
Love it.
Oh, they're the best. Raw Mallo. I have not seen they come to St. Louis, they play the pageant nearly every year. I don't believe I've seen a Mavericks date on the calendar for this 2024 year. I'm very disappointed in that, so we'll have to keep track. We have an audio cut of the day. I believe it's going to be focused on the legendary Whitey Herzog, and Dan O'Neill is with a sports journalist and author, covered the Cardinals for many years. And Dan, I know you have some great memories of Whitey Herzog. How are you this afternoon?
Good, Mark. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it's a... very sad day, for baseball, for St. Louis, and certainly for me. I spent a lot of time with Whitey during the '80s and since he retired as a manager, and he's you know, certainly was one of a kind person.
Well, let's go back to the '80s. We'll kind of cover what happened you after he retired and his continued interest and loyalty to the game. But man, you know, and Dan, I said this a couple of times, I got very lucky because I moved here right at the end of 1979. And that era of Cardinals baseball certainly locked me in as a fan. And it was just an amazing decade, three World Series. And, you know, it took a while to get back to one of those, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it shows you how rare that is. Now, you can give the current Cardinals a lot of credit for making postseason often and things like that. But, you know, when you look at what the Whitey teams did in the – first of all, when he came here, they were off to a terrible start in 80. And they fired Ken Boyer as a manager and hired Whitey. And they had a team that wasn't really, at least in Whitey's perception, fit for their ballpark. They had – Busch Stadium was one of the biggest parks in the league and artificial turf. And they had a team that had led the baseball in grounding into double play. So he wanted to get faster, play better defense, and made a bunch of very bold trades.
Yeah.
That very, very few guys did. And a lot, you know, a lot of those trades weren't very good ones. I mean, in the end, he traded Keith Hernandez for Neil Allen. He traded Ted Simmons and Pete Vukovic and Raleigh Fingers for a bunch of players and David Green. And so in the end, they didn't work out, but they changed the personality of the ball club. And then they went on to have the best record, the best winning percentage in baseball for the entire decade. I mean, that's saying something, you know. That's they went to the World Series three times. They contended and came close two other times. They probably could have gone in 81 when they really had the best overall record.
But Dan, I want to talk about 1985, and Tom Ackerman addressed this earlier, and here's Whitey, because that was a year where they, you know, the sports writers, I don't know if you were one of them predicting this, said dead last.
Well, basically, 1985 was a special year. We had lost Bruce Sutter to free agency to Atlanta. We never replaced him. When we went to spring training, I was supposed to be the first guy fired. We were supposed to finish last. Yet we end up winning 101 ball games, losing 61. Could have won the World Series in six games. We didn't score much. I mean, runs, we only scored 14 runs.
What do you remember about 1985?
Well, they would have won the World Series if they had instant replay, probably.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
When you look at it that way. But, yeah, everybody thought the loss of Bruce Sutter, who Herzog thought he had a deal to keep Bruce Sutter, and the brewery wouldn't back him up on it, and so Bruce left. But he was the top closer in baseball. So, you know, you lose the best closer in baseball, and it doesn't bode well. But they got some surprises in 85. I mean, Vince Coleman came out of nowhere and stole 110 bases and became just a sensation. And so that certainly helped. And, I think without a doubt, probably Whitey's but it was Whitey's best managing job for sure. He didn't have, like, an overwhelming starting pitching staff, and he certainly didn't have an overwhelming bullpen, but he made it work. Cardinals went almost the entire season without blowing a lead in the late innings. And then they got great years from Willie McGee. He won the batting championship, won the MVP. Ozzie Smith hit over 300 for the only time in his career. So everything fell together, but you know, Whitey did some great things in baseball, but what I remember most about him was he was just a special person, and he was great for St. Louis. I can tell you, if you have time, Mark, I can give you a couple of quick...
Absolutely, yeah.
Really don't have anything to do with baseball. Well, sort of they do. When I first got on the Cardinal beat, I went down to Florida, and I was new to the scene, obviously, and didn't know Herzog, and I didn't really know any of the players or anything. And they were in St. Pete at that time, and I got down there on a Friday night, and I hooked up with Rick Hummel, God bless him, and you know, everybody know Rick. Knew Rick was on the beat for a long time, and he liked to go out and carouse a bit at night. So I got there, and I wanted to fit, you know, I wanted to fit in and get along with everybody. So I went out with Hummel on Friday night, and we watched the NCAA basketball tournament. We were out at the bar till they closed, and then got up very early the next morning to go over to the ballpark. And I was so hungover. I mean, my God, you could have scraped me off the road. And so I walk into the Cardinals clubhouse, and I don't want anybody to see my eyes that were so bad. So I wore these dark sunglasses. So I come walking into the clubhouse, and Whitey's walking the other way. And it, without stopping, without missing a beat, he looks at me. He's still walking. He says, "Well, I see you met Hummel." And just kept on going.
Oh, my gosh. That is a great story. That is pretty good. All right, you got another one for me, Dan?
Well, yeah, the other one has nothing to do with baseball. Well, 1 year I was in charge of a fundraiser for raise money for a disease, and we had a dinner, and I got a local radio personality, doesn't matter who, well-known guy, it wasn't you, but he agreed to do the auction part of the thing for me, and I asked Whitey to be the chairperson, and he said, sure. So when we got down to the dinner, one of the first things I had to do is the radio guy showed up and was ready to do the auction. First thing he wanted to know is where was his check. You know, I had to pay him a couple hundred bucks to do it.
Yeah, this was a different era. Yeah. Those of us who volunteered for these things over the last couple of decades didn't happen that way. Go ahead. Sorry, Dan.
Well, and you didn't get away with just paying him a couple hundred bucks either. So then Whitey arrives with Gene Gieselman, who came with him. And I mean, keep in mind, this Whitey Herzog Hall of Famer, you know, he charges, people get paid a lot of money to do that kind of thing, you know, for charity or whatever. But Whitey arrives, well, not only do I not have to pay him, but the first thing Whitey did was hand me a check for $500 for the fundraiser. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was, you know, and then spent the entire evening with us and got up and talked and all of that and never asked for a dime. So well, that's kind of guy he was.
We've heard a lot of those stories today. Yeah, that's in Cusimano shared a couple of those and Tom Ackerman as well. And that's, I think we're going to hear that. So how do you, I've asked this question a couple of times. You think, you know, both of those guys mentioned a patch for Whitey's number that has been retired. Is that very, that seemingly would be a no brainer coming up, right?
Oh yeah, I hope so. I hope they do something like that. I mean, you know, there's never, Whitey was really unique. I mean, you know, when you talk about Stan the Man and Bob Gibson, and of course, Whitey was never that kind of a player. But in terms of being a personality and attached to baseball and meaning a lot to people here, he definitely is right there with those kind of people. And I would certainly hope and would expect that they would do something like that. I really don't think, you know, Herzog stepped down as a manager in 1990. And I don't think baseball's ever been as much fun or interesting as it was when and he wasn't the only one who was a personality, but certainly he was one of the biggest, and they just don't have people like that in the game anymore.
So this would be a risky question moving forward because of the Cardinals' start here, but how do you assess this team right now, Dan, because they certainly can't seemingly get the offense going. Sonny Gray looked good last night. He's got two wins right now, but you need about at least two more Sonny Grays or at least somebody that can compete.
Yeah. Well, you don't ever like my answers, Mark.
I know that's because you're crabby, Dan O'Neill, but you're honest. I appreciate that.
No, see, here's the thing, though. I'm not crabby. I'm realistic.
There you go.
I'm not, I was taught not to be a fan. You know, there's no cheering in the press.
No, I get that. I appreciate that.
So, I think the Cardinals, they're out there. They've got a couple of guys having bad starts, Jordan Walker, Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, those two guys are a big part of their offense, and they're both hitting about 150. So, you know, hopefully it's a small sample size, and those guys will start hitting. But I really still feel like they're not much different than last year's team.
Right.
You change the names a little bit, but in terms of the caliber of their starting staff and the history of each of these pitchers and their starting staff, it's just, to me, it's not a very impressive starting, with the exception of Sonny Gray. Obviously, he's got a reputation for being a top-notch pitcher, and he has been so
but,
far.
You know, but psychologically, Dan, here's what happens as a fan. You assess this stuff, but as fans, I think a lot of us sit back, and this is, you know, I'm a negative person. Sue knows that. I'm a glass-half-empty guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But you start thinking about everything we just talked about with the great eras of Cardinals baseball, and we know that the 90s had some rough spots, and you're always going to have ups and downs, but I'm starting to get in a little panic mode about how you get out of this. Now, they have a lot of young talent, right? So that's a good thing, but you've got two big-name players that aren't producing big-name results right now. We were thrilled to get Goldschmidt and Arenado, but at this point, they're not the ones that are producing results.
Well, I'd be a little more worried about Goldschmidt. I know he's only 2 years removed from an MVP, but he didn't have a very good season last season. And he's what, off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but I think 35, 36 years old.
Right.
So don't know what to make of his really bad start, although he has, I think, historically been a slow starter. Jordan Walker, sure looked like a stud to me last year, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't get it going. So I don't worry too much about him.
I love what I'm seeing from Mason Winn right now.
Yeah, Mason Winn, they couldn't ask for a better start from Mason
right.
Winn. I mean, people weren't sure if he'd be able to hit at this level and or even stay here, but he's hitting 370. I mean, he's a big reason why they haven't lost more of their games.
I know. You're right about that. Well, Dan, I got to go to audio cut of the day, but I'm glad you got to chime in here on some memories of Whitey Herzog on a sad day for St. Louis, but obviously all those great memories. Thank you, Dan O'Neill.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, take care.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I'm going to pick a controversial person to offer these thoughts on Whitey Herzog only because of his politics. And I should remind folks, and I don't know how many people heard this, but Bob Costas reached out to me about a month ago, and he wants to come on the show, and we're going to execute this in a couple of weeks. He wants to explain his position and some of the things he said on Bill Maher's show about Trump, and I have offered to give Bob that opportunity. And if you don't want to listen to it, well, then you don't have to, right? But Mr. Costas said this of the legendary Whitey Herzog.
Not only was he a great baseball mind, his baseball acumen was off the charts, but he was a presence. He was a distinctive character. And it wasn't just that his teams in the 80s in St. Louis won, or in the 70s in Kansas City, not just that they won, but the way in which they played, especially in St. Louis, was so distinctive. Speed, defense, good pitching, so distinctive that it was called Whitey Ball. And that idea is still in the heads of Cardinal fans, including those too young to have seen those teams play in person.
He's right about that, and let's hope. You know, I think it was Tom, maybe Frank said this earlier this afternoon, that this team might draw on some inspiration, especially if those patches are put on the uniforms. And I'm guessing we'll have a big, big celebration of Whitey's life at Busch Stadium eventually, too. Sue, have a great night.
You too.
Talk tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.